News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center. And always on the Civic Media app.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. The governments of Israel and Lebanon reaching a ceasefire agreement to end the conflict between Israel and Iran-backed Hezbollah. The U.S. brokered deal comes after a year of escalations and intense fighting. At the White House, President Biden says Israeli forces have reduced Hezbollah's capability to carry out an October 7th-style attack on Israel's northern border. He says the agreement clears a path to also end the war in Gaza and bring the remaining hostages home.
So now Hamas has a choice to make. Their only way out is to release the hostages, including American citizens, which they hold.
The 60-day pause in fighting between Israel and Lebanon begins in a matter of hours. President-elect Trump's transition team signed a memorandum of understanding today with the Biden White House. That critical document allows Trump's team to use government agencies helping for a smoother transition. And stocks closing up today, the Dow climbing to new record territory. This is ABC News.
Enjoying this local program? Find the complete Civic Media lineup at civicmedia.us or the Civic Media app.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Wisconsin residents are paying a smaller tax burden than most other states. According to a report from the Wisconsin Policy Forum, limits on local property taxes and income taxes, combined with average wages rising by about 9%, has led to the lowest burden rate compared to the national average ever for the state. Wisconsin now ranks 35th in tax burden, which is the state's lowest ranking on record. How does Wisconsin stack up as a place to retire? Lisa Hale has the answer.
U.S. News and World Report released its list for the 150 best places to retire in the United States. Green Bay tops the list of Wisconsin cities, coming in at 11th in the nation, up from 16th last year. Other Wisconsin cities that made the grade are Madison at 37th and Milwaukee at 123rd, down from 64th last year. The organization looked at the happiness of local residents, housing affordability, tax rates, and health care quality.
The entire list can be viewed at the U.S. News and World Report website. Average gas prices rose 2.2 cents per gallon over last week. The average in the state is $2.85. This is 4 cents lower than a month ago and 9 cents per gallon lower than this time last year. Over 30 states have average gas prices below $3 this week, but it won't be nationwide by Thanksgiving. Officials at Gas Buddy say Russia's threats after Ukraine used long-range U.S. missiles pushed oil prices back above $70 per barrel. Some promotions ahead of Thanksgiving are pushing gas prices back down, even as oil prices remain elevated. We are seeing the lowest national average price of gasoline since 2021 and a better economic picture than the last time prices were this low. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
The Packers prepare for Thanksgiving. Hi, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. For the second year in a row, the Green Bay Packers are playing on Thanksgiving. Last year, they beat the Lions in Detroit 29-22. The game got some of the highest ratings ever. This year, the Packers are at home Thursday night against the Dolphins, kickoff at 7:20. Matt LaFleur asked if there was time to review the tape of their win over the 49ers Sunday night.
I'm sure Miami's going to look at that tape, so you better know what you did and the areas where you may be susceptible to getting exposed and make those corrections and move on.
The Badgers host Minnesota this Friday, kickoff at 11 a.m. Head coach Luke Fickell asked if safety Hunter Waller will be back after missing the last game with an injury. Waller leads the team in tackling.
No, we don't know. Those are things that we're going to have to play out through the week. There's a lot of guys that are kind of in a similar situation that, you know, as you get to the end of the year, you know, it's a grueling season. The Big Ten is not the easiest road in the world.
That's Wisconsin head coach Luke Fickell with sports. I'm Mike Clemens.
This is your local Civic Media radio station. Want to hear even more? Anytime? Find all of it at civicmedia.us.
The sunshine finally breaks through, alongside a feisty west wind slapping a wind chill on top of cold temperatures. Highs today struggle to get above the freezing mark, and tomorrow hit the upper 30s. All ahead of cold air sliding in for Friday and the entire weekend. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot. Right now, it's 34 degrees.
Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwalbe. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. Todd Albaugh.
Hey, everybody, join us next time for a pre-Thanksgiving special, Trigby Olson, The Lincoln Project, and Pat Kreitlow with a Martha Stewart recipe. Be with us then.
The Todd Albaugh Show, weekdays noon till 2. News from the Center, WRCE. Broadcasting across the state of Wisconsin on the Civic Media Radio Network and around the world on the Civic Media app, this is the Dom Salvia Show. And now, here's your host, Dom Salvia.
And welcome to the Dom Salvia Show. Thank you so much for listening. Happy days to us all. You can be a big part here, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. It's a phone line. It's a text line. We've got Jess P.S. on the board. And one of my favorites, a little overtime with Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show, 2 to 4 p.m. right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. Hey, Maggie, welcome.
What's up, Dom? Hey. What's up, Jess P.S.?
It kind of feels like a Friday, Maggie, because I'm going to play the rest of the week, so we're going to...
Yeah, it's a Friday for Dom. Yeah. It's a Tuesday for the rest of us.
thank you, Jess, for working so hard. So we're going to have some fun, but Maggie...
It's a good thing at least one of us is.
Uh-huh. Someone's got to keep the lights on in here. Maggie, I spent some time yesterday on Robin Voss, Wisconsin Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, on Upfront, the Sunday talk show. And we played some of the sound and we kind of got into it. And we actually stretched it out for a while. We had lots to say about it. And I saw you called in and I didn't get a chance to take your call on the topic. So today is just like perfect timing. Maggie, we do have some of the sound. I want you to bear with me. Let's remind the audience and just to make sure you're entirely up to speed on what the cuts were, what Robin Voss said on Sunday regarding Michael Gableman. Let's play cut one, please, Jess.
This past week, the Office of Lawyer Regulation issued a 10-count ethics complaint against Michael Gableman tied to his review of the 2020 election, which you initially hired him for to look into the 2020 election. That review or the ethics complaint accused him of lying, violating laws, disparaging a judge as well. How should the Supreme Court move in this case?
Well, I hope they disbar Michael Gableman so he's never allowed to practice law in Wisconsin again. I tried to find the person that I thought was best qualified. If you can't trust a former Supreme Court justice to follow the law and do the right thing, I don't really know how much different we could have done. Mike Gableman went off the rails. He began to look for accolades outside of the client relationship that we had. He ultimately paid the price when I fired him. And now I didn't bring charges, but as I look at what the Office of Lawyer Regulation is saying happened, it's an embarrassment for anybody who practices law. So I certainly hope Michael Gableman loses his law license. I hope he goes back to work at Home Depot, where he was working prior to working for us.
Maybe a lot to unpack there. What's your reaction?
I tried to find the best person for the job, and if you can't call upon a former Supreme Court justice, then who can? First of all, I would like Robin Voss to once take accountability for something. Anything
ever,
because Robin Voss doesn't. So all of this idea of like, we want people who are accountable and government actors who are, except for Robin Voss, he hasn't been accountable to anybody in a long time. The closest he's ever felt that heat was when he got primaried by Donald Trump. Right. And that was who was primarying him. So let's like, to me, this is one of the most obnoxious things that he could have possibly said. Because it was known that Michael Gableman was a hack back when he was on the Supreme Court. Even conservative, very conservative attorneys and judges that I know openly talked about how Gableman was a hack. Okay. He ran one of the most insidious and overtly racist ads against former Supreme Court Justice Louis Butler, who was respected by conservatives and liberals alike. It was dirty tricks politics. He nearly got reprimanded because of his actions during that campaign. And the only reason he wasn't was because he had to actually recuse himself from the disciplinary proceeding that was before him about him, resulting in a tie as to whether or not he. So Robin Voss saying, "Who I found the best person I could," is a liar. That is a lie to every single Wisconsinite. The context here was Robin Voss was under extraordinary political pressure from Donald Trump and all of his co-conspirators in the state to continue to fan the flames of the lies about the 2020 election, which even Ron Johnson admitted on a hot mic that Donald Trump lost, okay? So in response to all of this pressure, he decides, oh, I'll have effectively like a special prosecutor, which apparently we can have here in the state of Wisconsin, but the federal government can't have. Just ask Aileen Cannon and nice. Jack Smith. So we'll get a special prosecutor. He picks a known hack who knows little to nothing, admittedly on the record about election law, who engaged in some of the most pernicious race baiting, dirty tricks politics that our state had yet to see in a Supreme Court election. You picked a know nothing hack whose only interest has ever been exploiting political differences to get himself ahead. That's who you picked, Robin Voss. And you have the audacity to try to sell to Wisconsinites that you had no idea that the known legal hack who's a race-baiting political opportunist of the highest order wasn't the right guy for the job? You hired him. You failed to supervise him. You failed to rein him in. You failed to tell him to comply with the open records law and retain his records. You sat idly by, Robin Voss, for months while this guy burned through stacks and stacks and stacks of taxpayer dollars sitting at a law library, renting out a random office in a mini mall. This is on you. If you think Michael Gableman should be disbarred and never permitted to practice law again in his life, Robin Voss, then you deserve to be driven out of Wisconsin politics, never to return for the rest of your life, because the responsibility for this quagmire and this screw up is one man's, Robin Voss's.
That is Maggie Dawn from the Maggie Dawn Show right here on the Civic Media Radio Network. This is Overtime with Maggie Dawn. Preach it, sister. That is exactly what I'm talking about. But I got to tell you about one more shortcut of a Robin Voss. He does talk about responsibility, accountability, perhaps. Just play the next one, please.
Important.
Yes, play the next
Dripping
one.
Dripping with irony.
Never again? That's an egregious punishment.
Yeah, I hope that's what they do. I mean, when somebody lies to the court, when somebody breaks attorney-client privilege, when somebody goes on their own fishing expedition, kind of basically holding the client hostage, that's not right. It's not the way it should be. So if we don't hold people accountable for the decisions that they make...
You mean your decision to hire the hack, knowing racist political opportunist that doesn't have two gray cells to rub together, which was evidently obvious by his near 10 years on the court where he was a laughingstock? Shouldn't you be accountable, Robin Voss, for your decision to hire said racist political hack, know nothing, not good Supreme Court justice? And you wanted to use the words fishing expedition? Right. How about this, Robin Voss? When you heard Donald Trump and his co-conspirators in this state spread lies and incite violence, where were you to say that is a lie? Donald Trump lost the state of Wisconsin. There's no there. There's nothing to see here. And we don't need a Michael Gableman or any other cuckoo to pursue baseless allegations that have never seen a scintilla of supporting evidence in a court of law. That's the fishing expedition that you suborned, that you co-conspired to permit the fleecing to the tune of $2.3 million of Wisconsin taxpayers to reduce the political heat on you, Robin Voss. You want to know the definition of a coward, of someone who doesn't stand up to power, who isn't about holding people accountable? You need look only further than Robin Voss, who'd rather waste your money, your taxpayer dollars, than tell the truth. And now hide behind breaching the attorney-client privilege? Come on, man.
You gotta have a patsy. I mean, if Robin Voss, let's assume he knows all the things that you just said were true, and the pressure was, well, I'm just gonna get this idiot, throw him out in front, throw him to the wolves, let him do his thing, and I'll pacify the Cheeto Jesus, and I'll pacify my hardcore mega voters, and I'll just go on my merry way. And if and when he eventually implodes, I'll just hide behind, I didn't know, if he was a former Supreme Court justice, who could have possibly have ever seen this coming?
It's weak. And it's, as Robin sits there, like, I wonder how the words feel coming out of his mouth. Like, right. The follow-up question is, Robin, how does it feel to pass the buck so hard? Like, you are the buck passer of buck passers. The buck doesn't stop with Robin Voss. No. It stops with anybody but Robin Voss, as long as he gets to keep his seat in the assembly and his leadership position. If you want to lead a party, whether it's the GOP in the Wisconsin State Assembly, or the Democratic Party in the state of Wisconsin, or anybody, the first thing we should demand is that you tell the truth and that you stand up to people who lie and manipulate the electorate. Robin Voss, you fail. That you stand up to people who want to waste taxpayer dollars, you fail.
Yes, the Republican Party, the MAGAs, the party of small government, burning through $2.3 million of your tax money to investigate something that he must have known was not to be true. Maggie, my understanding of that $2.3-ish million, former Justice Gableman received about $117,000 of that. This Office of Lawyer Regulation, can they impose fines? I mean, he's not going to be found guilty of a crime. Can they impose fines? Could they claw back perhaps maybe $117,000 that he was paid?
Yep, but they have very broad latitude to sanction, including disbarment. I think the $117,000 would be a good place to start. I think the sanction should be $2.3 million. I think he should be forced to repay Wisconsin taxpayers for every thin cent that we had to pay to legal counsel because he violated the open records laws, which is basically what you get on day one training as a public employee in the state of Wisconsin. It's like, hey, everything that you write and everything that you touch is presumptively subject to open records laws. And by the way, don't ever destroy any data or records because that's a violation of the open records laws. A Supreme Court justice doesn't know that? He should repay the whole nut. $2.3 million.
Oh, $2.3 million. And of course, Robin Voss, he has the barrier, right? He's not responsible for any of this. Just ask Robin Voss. Folks, you are listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That is Maggie Dawn. It's overtime with Maggie Dawn. She regularly airs here on the Civic Media Radio Network, 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. She's going to stick around for another segment. Maggie, as we go into break, I want you to consider the possibility that Donald Trump, as he comes in on day one, will impose 25% tariffs on Canada and Mexico, an additional 10% tariffs on Chinese imports. He's got a plan. Tariffs is going to be great. It's going to raise all sorts of money for this country. This is going to help pay for your child care, right? Right. This is going to help make interest rates go to zero. Maggie Dawn, an attorney, also an economist, come back. I want to get your take on that. Folks, you come join us as well. 855-752-4842.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
The Todd Albaugh Show.
Trigvi Olsen, senior advisor at the Lincoln Project.
We as individuals need to be far better in terms of getting the tools we need to have the conversations. You're never going to shame someone out of their political beliefs.
Yes.
You're never going to get them with talking points.
You nailed it. And I think that that's what some of our friends on the left don't get. And I think it's destructive and it's not beneficial.
The Todd Albaugh Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local civic media radio station and on the app. The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local civic media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
Are you prepared for an emergency or disaster? Because it's not a matter of if, but when. Don't find yourself saying,
when the storm rolls in, my time to find a pet-friendly evacuation center will have run out.
The scorching heat wave will leave me powerless to cool my insulin.
I'll face a hurricane without meds. Now that's a tough pill to swallow.
Let's prepare so we all have a better story to tell. Get started at ready.gov/olderadults. Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
You are never far away from your favorite radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. And if you missed your favorite show or game, listen to a podcast of it anytime on the app or our website, civicmedia.us.
Out here in the middle of these acres, it can feel like you're the only person on earth. That's how it feels when you're struggling with your mental health. But you don't have to feel alone. Find more information at loveyourmindtoday.org. Brought to you by the Huntsman Mental Health Institute and the Ad Council.
You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
Welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show, 855-752-4842. It's the phone line. It's the text line. We have some callers waiting. And a texter here as well. Jake from Milwaukee says, hey, give Voss credit. He's the most successful weasel in history. Way to go,
in
Jake.
In Wisconsin history.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. Thank you for the clarification there, Jess. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. We have Overtime with Maggie Dawn. You can check her out here on Civic Media, 2 to 4 p.m. Monday through Friday. She hangs on around with me for a couple of segments on Tuesdays. Appreciate it, Maggie. Donald Trump overnight, doing his diplomacy with his Truthy Social, as all diplomacy and tariffs are done, saying he's going to raise tariffs on Canada and Mexico by 25% and 10% against China. What did he say here? 25% tariffs, quote, on all products coming to the United States from Mexico and Canada. And it's ridiculous open borders. This tariff will remain in effect until such time as drugs, in particular fentanyl, and illegal aliens stop the invasion of our country. He also talks about China. I have had many talks with China about massive amounts of drugs, in particular fentanyl, being sent to the United States, but to no avail. Until such time as they stop, we will be charging China an additional 10% tariff above any additional tariffs on all of their many products coming into the United States of America. Maggie Dawn, a renowned economist as well as an attorney, is that going to lower prices for those goods for Americans or raise them, in your opinion?
It's not even an opinion. The cost of things will go up, like, period. This is just one of the most recent studies by a nonpartisan group. It's the Peterson Institute for International Economics, calculated that it's going to cause an increase in cost to the typical American household of $2,600 per year. Other estimates have it approaching $4,000. Whether it's $1,000 or $4,000 or $5,000 matters deeply to regular people. I don't think that Donald Trump has concerned himself over $1,000 to $5,000 ever in his entire life. So it's no surprise to me that he doesn't care one whit if this leads to Trumpflation and the crippling of the middle class. I don't know how you run on, like, I'm going to help the middle class. Then the first thing you do out of the box is make the stuff that the middle class buys more expensive for everybody. I just don't get that. This is not sound economic policy. It does not lead to, there's no magic switch for immigration. There's no magic switch for fentanyl, right? There's no magic switch for bringing manufacturing back to the United States. The most generous read on any of this is that it's actually a negotiating tactic, and that even if he imposes them, it would be short-lived if he can get the other countries to concede certain things. But no, what it's going to do is entice the other countries to put their own retaliatory tariffs in place, which will drive down international demand for U.S.-based manufactured goods, which will cause us to lose jobs, further hurting the middle class. It will also cause what can be a currency conflict or currency war, where foreign governments will, you know, like China, that have a centrally controlled economy, actually let their currency devalue against the dollar so that their goods actually remain cheap relative to their prior price before the tariffs were imported. And in fact, oh yeah, we know that China did that in 2018 and 2019 in response to the first round of tariffs that Donald Trump put in place. And if you don't think that's enough, couple that with mass deportations of the people that, you know, pick the fruits and vegetables that we like to eat for bargain basement costs, and you've got a perfect storm brewing that could lead to massive, massive pain for the middle class. So all of this, by the way, is destabilizing to the global economy and the U.S. economy in particular. You end up with weird currency manipulation type stuff going on. By the way, one of the biggest hindrances to fighting the influx of fentanyl is the illegal money laundering. You think Donald Trump would be all over that, cracking down on banks, you know, like Eric Hovde's, that help launder money for criminals that import this kind of drug to the United States. But there's nothing about that, because that doesn't make for a soundbite. The last thing I'll say when it comes to fentanyl, and certainly I was on and have been on the front lines of the opioid battles for years, what we know about fentanyl is that the subcomponent chemical parts that you can use to actually make fentanyl inside the United States are legal to import. And so, okay, what do the tariffs do exactly? How does that stem the tide of the legal importation of the subcomponent parts that can then be used here to manufacture fentanyl chemically? It just doesn't make any sense. By the way, tariffs are paid by the importing business. Who do you think the importer then gets compensated by for that increased cost of the good that they're selling?
Maggie, don't
they pass that along to the consumer?
Well, there's three options. They could pass it along entirely to the consumer. They can absorb it entirely, or they can absorb some of it and pass along some of it. But either way, they're not going to absorb it entirely. That doesn't happen.
When was the last time a business did that, right? I mean, we now know that 2/3 of the inflation that we were seeing during the Biden administration was actually being caused by price fixing and price gouging,
right,
which is charging more than you actually would need to under normal market conditions simply because you can. In other words, they kept their prices artificially high after supply chain costs went down after the COVID-19 pandemic. But I digress.
855-752-4842. Got a couple of callers. Let's get to them. Warren from Jackson, you're up. Welcome, Warren. What do you got for us? Hello, Warren. All right, sorry, Warren. Cindy from Appleton, you get to go. You're on with Maggie and Dom. What do you got for us?
Well, this is what people voted for. He was telling us, even before they voted for him, he was going to make all these tariffs, and people just went, oh, that's okay, Don, just do whatever you want. Because I'm driving down one of the main drags here in Appleton. There's still three Trump signs, big old Trump signs, sitting in front yards of people like they're gloating. I can't wait for them to ungloat, because they don't see what's coming, but it's coming.
Well, thank you for the call, Cindy. Certainly, if Trump does those specific tariffs anywhere, and I've seen the same numbers, maybe $1,000 to $5,000 per person or per family, that will go up. The prices are going to go up. That's what happens when you increase costs. Thank you, Maggie Dawn. Have a wonderful Thanksgiving, sister. I will see you soon.
Happy Thanksgiving.
Thank you. Folks, stick around. Hans Breitenmoser Jr. from Merrill, Wisconsin. He was the subject of a Journal Sentinel article recently about migrant labor. We got into that, and he reached out to me, so we're going to have a conversation with you. Join us as well, 855-752-4842. We'll be right back.
News from the center, WRCE. Local radio for you and your community. It's Civic Media's mission with stations across Wisconsin. Find your favorites at civicmedia.us.
For WRCE 107.7 FM News, I'm Joanne Krulatz. Local residents and visitors alike will be treated to a new place of public art on the north wall of the Copper Lounge building in Muscaday. Owner Wendy Rowe commissioned the mural by Darius Agard of Milwaukee after demolition of the longstanding service station and repair shop adjacent to her structure left an unsightly exposed brick face for both the Copper Lounge and the adjoining Clare Bank. After relaying the general concept to Agard, a preliminary sketch was provided and the pieces fell into place. Working throughout the day and into the evening, a team of five artists under Agard's direction started with background including United States flag red stripes, graffiti-style lettering of Muscaday, Wisconsin, and additional detail work with a large eagle. On Sunday, November 17th, Agard and his apprentice, Alan Peralta, formerly of San Diego but now of Milwaukee, and others continued the finishing work by adding the signature Muscaday Morel mushrooms and prairie wildflowers as a nod to English Prairie, the name given to the early trading post and settlement on the Wisconsin River, and final details. Between the planning and the actual on-site painting, over 100 hours were devoted to completion of the mural. A classic Wisconsin B-movie prop is up for auction. One of the giant spider props from the titular 1975 sci-fi movie The Giant Spider Invasion is up for auction in December. That film was shot in Merrill and was notably covered by the comedy series Mystery Science Theater 3000. You can also own all the rights to the film and several of the original negatives. The auction is coming entirely from a collection of the independent filmmaker Bill Rebane, who set up shop in Tiny Gleason in Lincoln County. For WRCE News, I'm Joanne Krulatz.
On your entertainment beat, I'm Pete Schwabba. It's been a long road for the live-action version of Snow White, but there is now a release date in sight. The Disney flick has been in development since 2016 and was supposed to be released in 2024. Greta Gerwig wrote the script for the film, which stars Rachel Zegler and Gal Gadot. Snow White will hit theaters March 21st of 2025. Hollywood is full of crazy stories, and actor Josh Brolin has a doozy he shared in his new memoir, From Under the Truck. Brolin tells the story of when he met acting legend Marlon Brando. Brolin attended a dinner at his stepmother Barbara Streisand's house, along with John Travolta and Kelly Preston. Brolin recalled that Brando showed up with a bleeding leg because he stopped to pull someone from a mudslide on the way to the party. Travolta, a well-known Scientologist, noticed and told Brando he had just gotten to the next level as a Scientologist and said he could heal him. Brolin recalled watching Danny Zuko heal the Godfather, one of the most surreal of his life. It was surreal just reading that. For more showbiz fun, tune in to Nightlight with me, Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 to 8 p.m. on the Civic Media Radio Network.
Your news, conversations, and a whole lot of fun. It's all on your local Civic Media radio station or the Civic Media app.
I'm meteorologist Mace Michaels. Clouds thicken for tonight, a low in the mid-20s, and mostly cloudy and cold tomorrow, high mid-30s. Partly sunny, a high in the low 30s for Thanksgiving. Even colder for Friday, high only in the mid-20s and partly cloudy.
It's 34 right now.
The Todd Alba Show.
Zomers, are you a Netflix and chill guy?
Do you know what Netflix and chill means?
I thought it just meant watch something on Netflix together.
You say that's what you're going to do, but you're really having them over there for sex.
This is why nobody wants to come to my place anymore. I say, hey, you want to come over and have Netflix and chill? People keep saying, well, no, I don't think so. I'll take it back. And I just thought they were being rude.
I do have Netflix, though.
The Todd Alba Show. Weekdays, noon till 2 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the app.
Ever tried balancing a dozen eggs in one hand while hopping on one foot? Or maybe juggling cats while riding the unicycle? Sounds ridiculous, right? But guess what? That's exactly what texting while driving is like. Your human brain only has the capacity to focus on one thing at a time. So when you're behind the wheel, give driving your undivided attention.
Don't drive distracted. A message brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, Project Yellow Light, and the Ad Council.
Maggie Dawn.
Next up, Jimmy Costa, guest host The Maggie Dawn Show. Don't miss it.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekday afternoons from 2 till 4. We'll be right back.
to the Dobbs Salvia Show. You can be a part, 855-752-4842, 855-75-CIVIC. Karis, you text in, the true cost comes with owning the libs. Talking about tariffs, hope they can afford it. Yes, it costs some money to own the libs. I might be easy, but I ain't cheap, Jess. Folks, I'm jazzed as hell to introduce to you right now Hans Brighton Moser Jr. from Merrill, Wisconsin. He was recently featured in an article, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel. We discussed it at length, and I guess it was last week. Hans got word that we were talking about him. His ears were ringing. And he's also a friend of the Civic Media Network, goes on some of the shows around here. So this is our first time meeting and talking. Hans, welcome to the Dom Salvia Show, man. Thanks for showing up, man.
Well, thank you very much for having me and allowing me to talk about this very important issue and also, you know, allay any concerns that some of my friends might have that I was a hardcore Trump voter.
Yeah, right.
I want to get that out of the way right
off. Certainly. All right. So let's address that right off the bat. The article written by Rick Barrett, the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, from November 18th. Mass deportations would devastate dairy farmers and other businesses. And you were quoted extensively in this article talking about farming. They wanted to talk about manufacturing as well. And when we were discussing it, and Jess, you can check me if I'm wrong here. Mm-hmm. I think I was very angrily questioning because it wasn't you per se, Hans. It was the reporting of Rick Barrett and Journal Sentinel, not only doing a fine job, a hard job, I wouldn't want that job, but they did not, when they did this article, talk to you, ask you what your political persuasion was. And I thought that was very important, given the fact that we do have lots of rural Republican farmers that are employing undocumented migrant workers on a regular basis, but then also voting for Trump. And that kind of, you know, I was laying that situation out. And I said it a few times, Hans. I'm not saying he did. I didn't check the tape, but I'm pretty sure I gave myself enough room. So, Hans, thank you. Would you please say for our audience, then, sir, before we get into the employment of migrant workers and the effect of mass deportation on Wisconsin's dairy farms and on prices and on industry, the economy in general, would you mind sharing with our audience how you voted this last election cycle?
Well, I did vote for Kamala Harris.
All right. A good man. All right. Woo. Now,
huge weight just lifted off of Tom.
I'm so glad I gave myself wiggle room on that. So, Hans, are you unique amongst your neighbors in Merrill in Upper Wisconsin?
Yeah, for sure, and you're absolutely forgiven, and I don't mean to give you a hard time.
That's really, all right, man.
Give him a hard time.
I saw this as an opportunity for me to use this little bitty platform that I have here as a result of that article, to try and set the record straight, not about my voting patterns and history, but rather about the fact that there's a lot of good people in the great state of Wisconsin and all over this country who have been demonized and otherized and just absolutely dragged through the mud and accused by our politicians, Donald Trump, Tom Tiffany in my area, of being these horrible, god-awful criminals. And I just know better. I know, I've worked alongside so many people, foreign-born people, my parents among them. I mean, my parents were immigrants a generation ago from Switzerland. But the point of it is, you know, I work with these folks and super hardworking people doing work that otherwise wouldn't get done, supporting an economy, and they've been turned in, you know, and demonized.
Yeah.
And so it's just so troubling, and it just hurts my heart. And the stupidity of it all. I mean, you know, you had Maggie on earlier talking about the numbers. You know, anybody that can do simple math should understand that if you are able to wave a magic wand and remove 5 to 11 million people from an economy that's already short of workers, it's not going to do great things for our economy, and certainly not for our rural economies, where I'm from.
Folks, you're listening to the Dom Salvia Show. That's Hans Brighton Moser Jr. from Merrill, Wisconsin. We're going to talk about migrant labor here on the in the dairy farms. Now, Hans, I don't know if you know this, but people that listen to this show and know me certainly do. I worked on my neighbor's dairy farm when I was growing up. And my senior year in high school, man, I got up at 5 o'clock in the morning every single morning before going to school to help do the chores on the farm. And I got to ask you, and read the article, you milk your cows 3 times a day? We only did it twice a day. What's the deal, man? What were we doing wrong, Hans? I never figured that one out.
Well, you know, when I was a kid growing up, we used to milk our cows twice a day as well.
Yeah.
But the dairy industry, like so many things, has evolved, and we've come to discover that cows would just as well be milked 3 times a day as twice a day because they give a lot of milk, and so it's just healthier for the cows. And it makes the cows more productive as well. So that's why we milk them 3 times a day.
Wow. And that's a lot of work. The farm I was on had about 100, 125 milking cows. And, of course, some heifers and calves and you know, beyond that. And one lucky bull when the breeders didn't work. But you got like 400, 400 cows that you're milking 3 times a day. What kind of workforce does that take?
Well, so there are about a dozen people who work on my farm. And a lot of them milk cows, as you can imagine. We've got 2 people per shift, and every cow is milked every 8 hours. So right now my workforce, 10 out of the 12 people are from Mexico. They are foreign-born folks, and I know this to be true of most of the farms that I can think of off the top of my head. I mean, if they've got north of 200 cows, they have somebody working for them, if not darn near everybody who works for them, is coming from a different country. I happen to be sitting in Abbotsford right now. I'm from Merrill, but I'm in Abbotsford right now as I'm on my way to Menominee to pick up my kid from Stout. But go to Abbotsford, Wisconsin, everyone, and without foreign-born folks, Abbotsford ceases to exist. Abbotsford is a very rural community, but it has a huge, huge labor force that works in the packing plant here.
Mm-hmm.
So we can talk about dairy directly, but we also talk about the meat packing industry. And like it or not, a lot of the folks that work in that type of job are also foreign born. So and while every employer, whether it's in hospitality, manufacturing, construction, dairy, vegetables, et cetera, all employers are obligated to ask for documentation so that they can have an I-9 form on hand.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, and I don't know the statistics, but it's an open secret that a lot of people's documentation is questionable, you know. And so why not just face reality and say, okay, how can there be a legal path to maybe not citizenship, if that makes people all nervous, but certainly a path for legal work in this country.
Yeah, work permits.
Because we rely on these people to make the economy run. And if you remove these people from the economy, it is going to it's really going to hurt. And it's really going to hurt rural areas. I can't stress that enough. I was on the Lincoln County Board for 10 years, and I know what small rural counties face. I mean, we've been counting paper clips for years.
Mm-hmm.
You take away a big part of the population, it's going to have an impact on everything that goes on in these rural counties. So I just want people to understand how important this demographic of people is to our economy.
Hans, I often wondered about how the workaround is. As you mentioned, all these industries, construction, you know, meatpacking, manufacturing, dairy, farming, agriculture, lots of foreign-born workers, undocumented. But if they fill out a W-4 and an I-9, and that information, to your knowledge, is what it is. They ask it for, they gave it to, they fill out a Social Security number. As far as you're concerned, as far as the state of Wisconsin, that is legit. That's that person, and people just go on their way. Has there ever been any sort of audit of that, either by the federal government or by the state government, with regards to, you know, I-9 forms?
Well, again, my job as an employer or prospective employer, and everyone else's job, whether that's a restaurant or a hotel or a meatpacking plant, our job is to ask for documentation, assume that it is legitimate documentation, because if we don't assume that it's legitimate documentation, then aren't we're racially profiling
right,
people, right?
Right.
So our job is not to, you know, that's the federal government's job to, you know, stick a flashlight up there. I'm not, you know, so my job is to have an I-9 form on file for all of my employees. And if Donald Trump or Uncle Sam or Johnny Law comes knocking, then, okay, tell me what I've done wrong here. But I my whole spiel here, Dom, is I think just more important than that, which is to say the honoring of work and the yeah. appreciation of people who are in this country doing hard work. And instead of using them as political, you know, cannon fodder, we should be appreciating people who are doing work that otherwise wouldn't get done. That's what sort of irritates me.
Oh, certainly.
This,
well, and it's even and Hans
we're not honoring that.
Certainly not honoring that. In fact, I mean they're dishonoring it by using it as a political tool to divide people and to make the others, as you mentioned, and to give someone someone to point their finger at. And that's been done very well by the Republicans. My rage on this is. Along with the disrespect of the work, because I worked on the farm, Hans. That was the hardest work I ever did. Don't want to work that hard again the rest of my life. Is a lot of those folks that voted for Donald Trump, if that's the case, if they're the megas and the conservatives, voted for him to basically, if the large percentage of the workforce is undocumented, the I-9s are inaccurate, they come in and start pulling people out, they voted for the deportation of their own workforce. I don't understand how that is a rational decision, Hans. What do your conservative farmer friends say to you?
It's not a rational decision, and so I'll point out a couple of things. Number one, dairy farmers and rural folks are not unique in our ability to vote against our own self-interest.
Certainly.
Okay, right? look at what about the union vote, right? I mean, there's been plenty of people who voted for folks that were not going to do them any good.
Mm-hmm.
But I'm going to share a little story with you real quick, if I may.
Please.
That speaks directly to your head-scratching question, because I, too, scratched my head about that. How could so many rural people vote for Donald Trump knowing what this was going to turn out to be, right? A good guy that I know that provides a service to our farm once a month, he's an American. He votes Republican. He's very conservative, but he's a very, very good guy. I mean, we're talking volunteer firefighter. Him and his wife fostered children. He's just a hardworking guy, and then he farms on the side and so forth and so on. Well, he was at my farm here right after the election, and I was feeling pretty gloomy. And I made some smart-ass comment about how he and I were both going to be out of work pretty soon, because if Donald Trump rounds up everybody and sends them all home, I said he and I won't have any work to do. And he said to me, he said, well, I wouldn't worry about that. I mean, you know, they're only going to deport the illegal folks. And right there, finally, a little light went on in my dim little skull that said, holy smokes, we've been having the wrong conversation. Because Kevin, the fellow that I was talking with, it never occurred to him that when he goes to different farms to do the tasks that he does on these farms, it never occurred to him that the people who he's working alongside might be here without proper documentation. And the reason why that never occurred to him is because the guys that he works with and the gals that he works with are good, hardworking, decent, honest, likable people.
Yeah.
And in his mind, all the illegal people are these scary television images that he's seen on on Fox News and on all the political ads and so forth. So he's disconnected from reality because he thinks all the illegals are all these people that are flooding across the border and doing all this crime. Those are the people who are going to get sent back.
Right. Hans, I got to pause right there. 1 second, man. Hold that thought. We got to take a quick break. Do you have time on the other side of a 2-minute break to stick with me for like another 8 minutes?
For sure. I want to finish my story.
Yeah, please. Hold it right there, folks. This is the Dom Salvi Show. That's our new friend, Hans Brighton Moser Jr. from Merrill, Wisconsin. Stick around. We'll be right back.
This is News from the Center, WRCE.
We visited Alexandria, Minnesota a few summers ago. Great time. Lakes, fishing, all that. But this year, for the holidays, we wanted a winter vacation that was just as memorable, just as family-friendly, but with lights and snow, and this time, with our grandkids in tow. This holiday, it's Alexandria again. We're coming back to make new memories.
Explore your holiday getaway options at explorealex.com.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app.
The possibility of lung cancer can be pretty scary, especially if you're one of approximately 8 million current or former smokers at high risk. That's why SaveByTheScan.org wants you to know that now there's a breakthrough low-dose CT scan that can detect lung cancer early, and it only takes 60 seconds. You stop smoking, now start screening. For an easy quiz to see if you're eligible, visit SaveByTheScan.org. It could save your life. SaveByTheScan.org is brought to you by the American Lung Association's Lung Force Initiative and the Ad Council.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba.
James Rundy.
I decided to throw off all my wild and crazy short film ways and make a straight up documentary about my uncle. He was one of the small time dairy farmers across the state that were kind of the backbone and why we got our state's name, America's Dairyland.
It was called The Last Milk. Have you ever milked a cow?
Oh, yeah.
I'm curious, but I'm scared to do it because I'm worried I might like it.
All right. Nightlight with Pete Schwabba. Weeknights from 6 till 8 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. You're listening to News from the Center, WRCE.
And welcome back to the Dom Salvia Show. We are online with Hans Breitenmoser Jr. from Merrill, Wisconsin, talking about migrant labor, undocumented migrant labor. Hans, sorry to cut you off there. We had the break to get to. You were talking about your friend, your conservative, your good guy, conservative friend, Kevin, who comes around once a month. And we were concerned in your conversations, making a smart-ass comment, I think you said, Hans, that you're going to both be out of a job if Donald Trump gets his mass deportations in. And Kevin wasn't worried about that because his opinion was that only the illegals, quote unquote, Hans, would be deported. Please continue, sir.
Yeah. And so there's my point to the story is that there's a misconception by plenty of rural folks who work on farms and in the meatpacking industry and in the local restaurants and so forth that the folks that they work alongside, the foreign-born, you know, Mexicans, Hondurans, El Salvadorans, what have you, the folks that they work alongside, well, of course they must be here legally because they're such good people. These guys have been told that the illegals are all these folks that are committing crimes. So, you know, it's easy for us progressives to be crabby with our neighbors and say, well, my goodness, how could these folks, you know, vote this way? And how could they be such bigoted xenophobes and so forth? Well, you got to understand that they've been misled by the rhetoric and so forth on TV. Because when I said, Kevin, I said, you understand surely that a lot of the people that you work with, their documentation may not in fact be legit. And I swear to God, his face changed, and it had not occurred to him. It simply had not occurred to him. And we both then, I believe, had an epiphany right there because it didn't occur to him that a lot, if not most of the people that he works alongside for his job are in fact here illegally. And I had not. I had an epiphany because I just didn't realize that there was that level of misunderstanding. And I don't want to use the word ignorance because I don't believe for a minute that he's an ignorant guy. Don't misunderstand me. But you know.
But if he used but Hans, does he take that knowledge and use it? Because otherwise it's willful ignorance. You know what I'm saying? Once you become aware of that, Hans, isn't it upon them, is their responsibility to then perhaps adjust their mindset and their attitude with the new information that's come to light, man. Tom. You know what I mean?
For certain. Yeah. For certain. I'm not letting anyone off the hook here.
Sure.
But what I am saying is that how do we move forward, right? Well, it's by having these types of conversations and enlightening our conservative brothers and sisters as to the reality of what's going on. Because you know as well as I do, you know, there's a heck of a lot of misinformation coming over the, you know, I mean, we're talking decades of, you know, right-wing radio and all the rest of it. So, and when you have politicians who are willfully ignorant and who are willing to, you know, make as much hay with this type of stuff as they possibly can, that's the part that's disgusting. I can forgive, you know, the Kevins of the world to a certain extent, but I have a real hard time forgiving politicians who will, you know, create advertisements around, you know, this criminality and all this type of stuff, and choose to ignore facts just to get votes. I mean, that's, you know, I'm sure you're rolling your eyes there at my outrage, because I mean, how naive am I? This has been going on for years, but it's still bothersome, and that's why I appreciate the opportunity to come on and you know, just sort of try and be a voice for people who don't have a political voice in this country.
Well, it's political whether you're involved in it or not. Hans Brighton Moser Jr. from Merrill. Hans, as I look at this, and if we can't, you know, convince people before the election, and which of course is too late now, if and when, you know, the mass deportation starts, then people are going to know. The article that you are mentioned in, Hans, talked about the milk prices being doubled if this were to happen. That seems to me inflationary to me, Hans. If you had to, if I may ask, what does a farmhand get paid, a foreign-born farmhand? And if that job were to be gone and you had to hire, say, your son who you're picking up, you know, someone else, how much more would your payroll increase?
It wouldn't increase. I would have to quit farming. There's nobody out there for me to hire. It's not a matter of me or any other dairy farm or packing plant paying folks less than they could otherwise get away with. It's simply that there are no other people out there. My payroll, depending on the position on my farm, starts at $13, and I've got one guy that with benefits and so forth makes north of $30 an hour. So it kind of runs the gamut depending on how long they've been there and what they do and so forth. And I think you'll find that throughout the, you know, the multiple industries that foreign-born people, you know, the jobs that they occupy. But it's not a matter of pay. This is what people don't understand. If this came to pass, all right, and this was possible, logistically possible, to round up and get rid of this many people, for starters, I don't know how you do that. And that's the only thing that gives me some hope, is that I can't imagine how, you know, again, in an economy that doesn't have enough people, you're going to hire an army of bureaucrats, presumably, to collect all these other folks that are actually doing real work. And you're going to chase them out of the country.
Yeah.
My farm stops working. And the hell of it is that I would not only have to sell my cows, but the price of these cull cows would drop through the floor, because guess who slaughters the cull cows? Right?
Foreign-born migrants, you know, yeah.
My cows. Right. So what happens, right? If I can't milk my cows, they pile up outside my barn. You know what I mean? How do I get rid of them? What do I even do? Because the packing plants in this country are
also
populated
right.
almost exclusively.
Hans,
you know?
Hans, so man, I'm so sorry. We're going to run out of time. I guess we'd be grilling out, man. Hans Brighton Moser Jr. from Merrill, Wisconsin, thank you so much for joining, man. I appreciate it. Please come back around sometime real soon.
You bet.
Thank All right, thank you, Hans. Have a great Thanksgiving. Folks, this is the Dom Salve Show. Coming back with your calls, 855-752-4842.
News from the Center, WRCE. Pete Schwabba.
On the next Nightlight, I welcome from the Trans-Siberian Orchestra, Al Petrelli, Milwaukee film critic Matt Miller joins the show, and filmmaker Emmett Lavorty. Let's light it up.
Nightlight with Pete Schwabba, weeknights from 6 till 8.
The Maggie Dawn Show.
His name's Jeff Mandel, general counsel for Law Forward.
Mr. Gableman broke more ethics laws and rules than he followed. The attorney's oath here in Wisconsin is fairly long. Mr. Gableman had, in the course of the sham investigation into the 2020 election, violated every single sentence in that oath.
The Maggie Dawn Show, weekdays from 2 till 4 on your local Civic Media radio station and on the Civic Media app. This is your hometown radio, refreshed, keeping you informed, entertained, and connected locally across the Civic Media network. This is News from the Center, 1450 AM WRCE and 107.7 FM W299 CD Richland Center, and always on the Civic Media app.